This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Ben Ricciardi, CEO of Times 10. Ben, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for those who are not familiar with Times 10, tell me a little bit about your company and your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, so we're a full-service creative agency based in Burbank, California, and I worked with a bunch of different types of brands, personalities. Started the company about 8 years ago. I was broke as a joke and started from there.
And you started your company with what, $1,500?
Yeah, about $1,500. Okay. My ex-girlfriend was putting $20 bills in my wallet for lunch.
Okay.
It was a rough journey. I had been in the music business for a really long time, but hit a snag towards the end of my music industry career. Wasn't sure totally what I was going to do, but I knew a lot about marketing and branding from my music industry days and just from growing up in kind of the entrepreneurial lifestyle, and said, hey, let's give this a shot.
And you were completely self-funded, and then you grew your agency into a multi-million dollar agency. How did you do that, and what tips do you have for entrepreneurs who are looking to do the same?
Yeah, I mean, we started, it was about 7.5 years ago, and it was just kind of, I looked at it as building blocks and stepping stones. There were some times we got knocked down a few stairs, but we always built ourselves back up. But it was really like growing larger and larger clients time after time, and just over-delivering as much as we possibly could to make sure that we had more opportunity within those businesses. And it's been a fun journey, and we've grown over double every year since we started the agency.
Wow. What has it been like kind of managing a high-growth company?
It has a lot of ups and downs and a lot of struggles. Making sure you don't hire too many people, but making sure you're not under hiring too. We have over 20 people on the staff working full time, full benefits. And I love that aspect, but it's also super difficult to make sure with such a high overhead, if you have a rough month, how do you kind of keep the lights on and keep building?
Right. I want to talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey. Was there ever a time when you were starting Times 10 where you thought you were really going to fail and that it was just not going to happen?
I mean, I think any entrepreneur feels that way often, and I still feel that way to this day, and I think it drives you, it excites you. But there's definitely been a few times where we were needed money to keep the lights on and had to figure out either a client or a loan or something to keep the lights on. That happened many times. I mean, I think there is no get-rich-quick schemes out there, especially in the social media and content world. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, it's just finding those opportunities to keep pushing and keep growing one step at a time.
Absolutely. And you've worked with major brands like Adidas and Nike. How did you get them as clients, and kind of what was your strategy?
Yeah, a lot of it just came from stepping stones and then really small projects with really large brands. Mm-hmm. So we would start with a project that was, with Nike, it was an under $10,000 project with Jordan Brand, actually. And that was a stepping stone that led to more opportunities. And then with Adidas, there was a small project that was a last-minute project that kind of nobody wanted. And we took it on and completely over-delivered. And now we've done about 150 projects with Adidas since.
And your family is kind of entrepreneurial.
Yes.
Do you think you were born to be an entrepreneur?
I mean, I don't know if born, but watching our pops and our mother, who were both entrepreneurs from when I was born, and seeing their journey from so many different things they've done and so many different opportunities. Yeah, I mean, I think that absolutely affected my brother and I from a young age to always have that kind of lifestyle and that spirit.
And who is Times 10 perfect client, would you say?
I mean, I think our perfect client is anybody we understand where they want to take the brand. Our job is not to change brands, but to grow brands and make them better in what their journey they want it to be. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think it's anybody that we understand where we're trying to go. You know, our newest client is a client called Simply Safe, which is a home security company.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard
of
that.
Yeah, that many wouldn't expect after us working with Nike and Adidas, but we understood what the goal was and the objective was with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing for us, is as long as we understand the goal and the objective and we feel like we can over-deliver it, that's where I think the perfect client comes from.
Tell me, what is With Marketing?
Yeah, so my thing over the last few years is, coming off of the Super Bowl, you see these large, expensive commercials which do work, but I think that's a kind of old, antiquated system to think you can post one commercial and see success in your business flourish.
Right.
The youth today is so desensitized by advertisements that you really need to pound them over the head with all different types of content and advertising, mm-hmm. whether it's influencers, whether it's billboards, whether it's different types of Facebook and Instagram ads, whether it's content where it's product placement that they don't even think you're paying for, but it has it there. It's really just the idea of creating width for your consumer to see you in so many different places at the same time. For example, a company that I think is doing this pretty well is Happy Tea, which is a CBD tea.
Yes.
You're seeing billboards all over the place. Mm-hmm. You're seeing influencers posting. You're seeing Facebook ads. You're seeing content that has Happy Tea inside of it.
Right.
It's just all over the place. And I think what that does is at some point you go, I got to really figure out what this Happy Tea thing is.
Right.
And they've done a good job to really, you know, really pound that into your head.
Yeah, they have. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Business Rockstars. This is my wonderful guest, Ben Ricciardi, CEO of Times 10.
One step away from homelessness being that paycheck. I was just one paycheck away. So when I got there on Friday, no paycheck. There was probably another 14 people standing outside the front door who had the same conversation I had with my boss. He had skipped town, gone. And I had called my landlord and said, I can't pay rent. This is what happened. He said, I already gave you 30 days. I can't give you another. And that was literally, you know, day one of going into homelessness. I was in Las Vegas. I was on the streets. I didn't have a couch to sleep on or friends. I had a couch at the time. I didn't have a car. My car got repoed, so I couldn't sleep in my car. I literally slept in abandoned buildings and basically ate wherever I could find food, which included, you know, dumpsters and garbage cans. My mom was like my ace in the hole. Yeah, I expected her to say what like most moms would say, which was, you know, don't worry about it. We'll buy you a plane ticket back to Jersey. You can sleep in your old bedroom. I'll make you a cup of soup, whatever, right? And she didn't say those things. Instead, she said, why don't you just go find a shelter? And very next call was to Eric, which was my last boss, my boss from years prior to. And he essentially said, I have this office space, and this office space is very tiny. I was thinking about starting a new business, but I'm not doing it now. The best thing about this office space, because it was so tiny, was that all the utilities were included. So I had electricity, but what was really cool is I had this really, really old desktop computer on a table that's like six foot table that had internet access because utilities were included. So I took this opportunity to spend 24 hours a day online, creating a resume, submitting it to a job application, being on Craigslist all day long, being on Monster all day long. And there was a lot of rejection, a ton of rejection. And it was all based on surface level. It was based on how I looked. When I'd walk in and people saw me, obviously I looked homeless. When I walked into the lobby, they'd come running out from behind the receptionist desk and go, hey, you can't come in here. And I'd be like, but I'm here for the job. Sure you are, you can't come in here. I forgave her for everything, basically. And what I look back on it now, just knowing that she had to do exactly what she had to do for me at that time. And today, what I do is I extend that opportunity to others who are in the exact same position that I was 3 years ago.
Allie Webb, founder of Drybar.
I think the hardest part about being a leader is everyone's looking at you for all the answers all the time, and it can be really daunting and scary and hard to be in that position of like you just have to figure it out, and sometimes you make the wrong decision and you have to be okay with that. So I think it's you know the level and the sheer volume of things that are coming at you all the time and trying to get it right as much as possible. I think great advice for young women who want to become an entrepreneur is to make sure that you're really doing something that you love and are passionate about, because it takes so much time and energy and blood, sweat, and tears, way more than you think it's gonna. So you wanna make sure you're really passionate about what you're doing and you surround yourself with great people who can help you and kind of fill in the blanks and things you don't know.
struggling to get more done for the day, practice these simple tips to start freeing up your time and getting more done during the day. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, make a daily to-do list. Create a daily list of realistic tasks to tackle every day. Keep it simple, too. Your tasks don't need to be massive jobs that will take hours to complete. Number two, start saying no. Sometimes that little word is the hardest to say, but it's okay to say it. It's important to manage people's expectations, so if you can't take something on and give it 100%, then don't do it at all. Number three, turn off social media. Take a break from the hustle of the outside world and avoid going on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. They'll only distract you. For people who need social media for work, which is a lot of us, make sure you're logged out of any personal accounts so you don't get pulled off task. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Business Rockstars, and we are back with my wonderful guest, Ben Ricciardi, CEO of Times 10. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. I love being here.
So for those who are not familiar with Times 10 and those kind of just tuning in, give me a little elevator pitch on your business.
Yeah, we're a full-service creative and social agency. We try to do everything in-house, so we have full-time content team, design team, social team, and we are an agency that does all different types of social campaigns, content campaigns, and then also any sort of content, building out websites, things like that.
What was your favorite campaign that you guys did?
We've done a few. There was a fun one we did last year called the Nightmare Campaign for a colorway of James Harden's Harden Vol 2s. And it was a lot of fun. We had billboards all over. We created a 1-800 hotline number for people to call in if they were having nightmares about James Harden. And it went great. It was really cool, and Adidas loved it, and worked with a lot of different influencers on it and did some really cool stuff with it.
What would you tell startups who think, my branding in the beginning isn't that important, I don't need to do any campaigns? What would you tell them?
I mean, I think your brand, you only have one time to make a first impression, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what your size is. I tell people, don't put out anything if it's going to be not great.
Right.
And I'd rather you put out nothing than you put out something that's subpar. Mm-hmm. So I think at any point that you're at, you should really push to have great content. And it all doesn't have to be insanely expensive, but I would rather a startup spends money on less content and less things, but they're better quality mm-hmm. than more stuff that's mediocre quality.
Right. And your business is about 8 years old, correct?
Yeah.
And when you first started, it was very tight. You were all self-funded. Did you ever think you were going to fail? And how did you kind of overcome that?
Yeah, I mean, we've been self-funded ever since we started. And with being self-funded, there's always struggles of worries of failure. And, you know, there's been times where I've needed to find money before payroll, things like that. This is a little while ago, which is good. But Absolutely. I mean, you always worry about failure. And if you don't, then you're just kidding yourself, because just about every business, no matter the size, always worries about failing. I know there's a quote from Jeff Bezos that told his investors that there was a 70% chance that Amazon was going to fail.
Wow.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
So I think if Amazon, which is probably the biggest, one of the biggest companies in the world, felt the same way, I think if you're not feeling that way, then you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest social media trends will be in 2019?
I think IGTV is going to be a super important one. Mm-hmm. I think there's just going to be many different ways that you can monetize content. And then I think influencer marketing is just going to keep growing.
Yeah.
It's something that I think we're probably 25% into what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think brands are figuring out the power and the cost that's better for them of using influencers in different ways.
I have a question about influencer marketing, because yeah. I always see people posting and they do the hashtag ad. And mm-hmm. it's like, do you think that's really, I mean, do you think it will keep going up? Because to me, sometimes when I look at that, I'm thinking, well, they're just promoting it because they're getting paid. And do you think people could kind of see through that transparency, or do you think it doesn't really matter?
I don't think it's a huge, huge deal. I think that hashtag ad at the end, I think there's also a lot of kids that don't even pay attention to it.
Right.
You know, the youth doesn't totally understand it at first. I think if somebody is savvy, they're going to know that almost all of the stuff they see with an influencer, with a product, is probably paid for.
Right.
I don't think that's an issue. I think influencer marketing is just going to keep going and building.
Yeah. So what can a client expect when they first kind of sign with you? Walk me through the process.
Yeah, I mean, our hope is to really understand the business and the objectives mm-hmm. as quickly as possible, and getting that debrief from them of what they think their business is and what their goals are, and making sure that those align with what we think that they should be doing. Mm-hmm. I think that's super important. And then also figuring out, what are we trying to accomplish? Making sure there's goals that are set that we can execute on and knock out of the park. Because if you don't have those, you have so much of a better chance to have an unhappy customer.
Right. And what is it like being your own boss and managing people? Because entrepreneurship is often glamorized. And
managing people is really hard. I mean, there's so many different personalities inside of a business.
Right.
And especially a creative business where you have a bunch of different creatives that are running around that all have different styles and different energies and different things that they love and that excites them. And I think it's something that every day I try to improve on. And I think I've gotten a lot better, but I still have a long way to go. And being my own boss, it's interesting. I think once you have employees, you're kind of not your own boss anymore. Mm. Because if you decide to take a month off, and you essentially put a lot of other people out of business and right. out of having jobs. So I think once you have a lot of employees, it's almost like you're working for them.
Yeah.
So I don't think I lose that hustle being my own boss. I mean, I think you actually gain it and you push.
If you could give 3 tips to aspiring entrepreneurs or business owners, what would you tell them?
I think the biggest one would be is know what you want to succeed in. Mm-hmm. Have clear objectives and make sure you're passionate about whatever you're going after. Mm-hmm. Don't just, once again, the kind of get-rich-quick scheme of it all is going to go away quick if it's not something you're super passionate in. I love what I do every day, and it excites me. I wake up in the morning, especially on a Monday, and I'm like, yo, let's crush this week. If you don't have that, I think you're gonna have a lot of difficulty succeeding. And a third one is probably don't try to expand too fast. Mm. I think that's probably something that I've struggled with early on, was thinking that it was cool to have lots and lots of employees and really big overhead. And I think if I could go back again, I'd probably slow that down and try to stockpile a little bit more cash for a rainy day.
Yeah. And where can people learn more about you and your business?
My Instagram, I would say, is where most people find me, which is at BenTimes10. My website is BenTimes10.com. And then the company's website is Times10.net. All of them are with the numerals, so 10.
Okay, Ben, thank you so much for joining us
Absolutely.
Today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. This is Business Rockstars. That was my wonderful guest, Ben Ricciardi, CEO of Times10.
Start thinking more clearly and realistically about growing your small business. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Some entrepreneurs spend months trying to raise more money than they actually need to achieve proof of concept. Many get stuck on the grand vision of their company's future instead of deploying the resources and assets at their disposal. This is entrepreneurial brain freeze. If you're trying to borrow money before you've gotten one customer, you're likely going to give away more equity than you have to, or it's going to cost you way too much to borrow money. There can be huge benefits in shrinking your grand vision, shaking off the entrepreneurial brain freeze, and proceeding with calculated baby steps rather than rushing a new business to the finish line. Only borrow what you need, not what you want. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars, and I have two rock stars today. We've got Jean Ann Grubbs and Abby Lewis Evans, co-founders of Our One Agency. Thanks so much for stopping by,
yeah,
ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. So tell me, what is Our One Agency?
So basically, we're a new media marketing agency. So we came from the world of big branding, advertising, doing a little bit of everything, and branched off about a year ago and started something that's really tailored for advertising today and now in 2017. So we do a lot of social media marketing, influencer marketing is a big part of it, content production, strategy, branding, all that good stuff.
And this is the future of marketing. And
yes,
if you are an entrepreneur watching or listening and you're not incorporating this into your business yet, you probably should, right? Tell me a little bit about why this is so important, because it's the future.
Yeah, it's a lot of bigger agencies come from a world of more of the traditional form of advertising, mm-hmm, and it's right, really hard for them to just completely switch gears and focus on how quickly everything's changing. And I mean, there used to be, you know, five channels or five avenues that you would advertise on. It's like print, TV, maybe out of home. And then digital started coming in, and then social came in, and then influencer marketing came in, and just everything changed. So basically now there's millions of channels you can advertise on. So everyone is an outlet. So it's really just interesting getting brands to understand how to navigate that space and how to successfully do it, because it changes every day.
And I think it can feel very overwhelming for brands.
I think so.
Because, it's like the wild, wild west. But at the same time, there's so much opportunity in the digital space that there wasn't in those other avenues.
Right.
And, you know, for example, you can measure performance and results a lot better online. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, and the high frequency of everything going on today allows for, you know, on the fly optimization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can remain relevant through always turning and pivoting with either your audience or the relevant space that the world is in. You know, it's a better human to human connection that your brand can make with your consumers instead of throwing out a TV ad and then just waiting for everything to trickle in.
It's definitely more real time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it used to be like, we'll do it and we'll optimize and we'll get data learning later. But you can tell immediately now when you post something if it's doing well or not, because yep. people gravitate towards it or they don't. And then if it's not doing well, you can take it down and optimize.
And they have the opportunity to react quickly, either via comments, engagements, you know, good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes less time and money mm-hmm. to see what works. You can test something and put it out there.
Less money is key because yeah. I think a lot of brands, smaller brands, so obviously the mega brands we work for and they have bigger budgets, but there's smaller startup brands too that don't have big budgets that we really, really, really encourage to play in this mm-hmm. space.
It's because the playing field for them too.
Yeah, they can get so much for their money. So the ROI for, you could take a small brand and spend just a few thousand dollars on influencer marketing, but you're able to pick the most influential person, the most, you know, authentic person that is needed for that brand. And they're going to go so much further with that $2,000 than trying to play anywhere else where they're just blasting it out.
Yeah. And both of you have a marketing background. Can you each individually tell me a little bit about your history in this space?
Sure. It's been a shared journey, I'd say, of just big agency experience, both from the account service side of things, which is the liaison between creative, you know, in internal departments and your clients. So as that role, you know, having grown up in the ad world that we both did over the past, you know, decade plus, to age ourselves, you know, we learned a little bit about everything and seeing how it plays out from a strategy point of view in clients' reactions, their business needs, mm-hmm. and learning how to curate a way to solve that business need, only knowing what the problem is. So being a solutions-oriented department.
Yeah, we actually both worked at the same ad agency back in Dallas. That was a digital interactive shop at the time in 2006 or something. And it was it was like banner ads, right? So it was like the invention of like digital marketing. So that was kind of where I fell in love with like the digital side. And then it's just so funny now, fast forward 10, 11 years where it is now. But yeah, and then came out to LA, been at big agencies out here working on the big brands, like Abby was saying, on account strategy side and digital and social media. So we basically had that under our belts and knew that we saw an opportunity where the industry was moving to really try to start something that tailored specifically to where the industry was moving and get away from some of those more traditional agencies.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine in your industry and in a lot of industries, there's this constant push and pull between traditional avenues, but then keeping up and evolving as well. So you obviously are evolving into the digital space and you saw a trend and you acted on it. Mm-hmm. So what made you go, you know what, this is where it's going and then I want to be a part of it?
For me, it was a couple years ago. I worked on a big Super Bowl campaign at the agency I was at. And influencer marketing was a big part of that campaign. And I realized with Super Bowl, people were spending so much money on to be, you know, their 60-second, 30-second spot in that. And then there's like kind of this whole other side that became equally in years to come more important than the actual 30-second, 60-second TV spot. And I was playing in that space and just seeing that it was, like you said, the Wild West, and there were so many opportunities to win the Super Bowl in that space. So I think in my background, of course, was always in social. And I just saw, I was like, it's only going to continue to be that path. And I really want to just like capitalize on it now and see what happens.
Totally.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, mine comes from just, I want to do something different every day, all the time, and have it always be so fresh. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of where I was thriving in my, you know, joy and passion in what I was doing leading up to that, and the opportunity to do it all the time. just sounded like, you know, heaven. So.
And work for ourselves.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Sure. You guys have been in business for what, a year?
1 year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So about a year ago, is that when you...
Yeah, hit our heads and decided this was a good idea.
did you immediately quit your full-time jobs? Yeah. Or did you kind of make the transition slowly?
Cold turkey.
Okay.
Band-aid right off.
Okay, so tell me about that. Let's go back to when you made the decision. How did you...
Hour one of hour one.
Yes. When you made the decision, what were some of those first steps you took? Maybe both mentally and literally.
Right. It was terrifying.
It was.
I mean, we had an opportunity to jump on, and, you know, it required us stepping out on our own, which was terrifying and exciting all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you know, sometimes you just need those things to help you feel like there's a sign and that you should take advantage of it.
So what was the sign? What was the opportunity?
There was just a big project for us to work on that we could throw our hat in the ring as an agency of our own.
So, yeah, and there was all these little moments along the way that were just like, every time I would go to bed at night and be like, this is crazy. I need to keep my job. It's super secure. My job's amazing. I love the team. I love what I do. And same with Abby. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I would wake up the next morning and something happened that would push us in that direction to do it. So it was just all these little mini signs of, you know, just things coming together or people coming on board to help us and say, I want to help you pitch this. And because I believe in this too. So every time like someone came on board and said, I'm in too, let's do this. It was just like—
Just confirmation. Yeah, that it was, the right thing
it was all
the
these
right
little
time.
Things that just, and everyone I talked to in my network, every time I was like, this is crazy. People were like, you have to do this. It was just, we had so much support and so many people, you know, it's like pushing us over to that, knowing that we could if we just didn't question it too much. And we didn't actually get that first project, which is funny because that it now looking back was a blessing in disguise. We were able to pivot and go for a lot of other types of work that we wouldn't have been able to. And so, you know, it's like everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And perseverance is the name of the game.
Yeah, right? Perseverance.
So when that first project fell through,
oh gosh,
then what did you guys do?
You know, just dusted ourselves off and thought, well, what are our dream accounts? What would we always say we wanted to work on, whether we got to or, you know, didn't get to in our former life now at the big agencies? Because we're past that now. And so what's our dream? What do we want to work on? Let's do it. Let's go after it. And we have and did and will continue to.
Still doing? It was weird. It was a weird feeling because, you know, I think in my mind, it was like this or nothing. And so then when it didn't work, we didn't have a backup. We weren't like, well, now. So it was that hustle mentality of like sink or swim. It's like, we've already created the name, the brand. We know what we stand for. We know what we want. We are to a point where, you know, we have a lot of great connections and network of people. So let's get out there and hustle. And that's just, I mean, it was literally sink or swim. We had gone to that point where the Band-Aid had been ripped off. So if we had kept our jobs and pitched that and didn't win it, the security blanket would have been our jobs and we would have just stayed. So it's good that
we missed out on everything that's happened in the last year, which has been a mix of, you know, terrifying and insecure with immense highs and pride.
Yeah.
So It's crazy.
Great story, ladies. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about their journey of making it in that first year and also influencer marketing, because they are experts in this area. So much more with the co-founders of One Hour Agency. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Remember, it's all about the customer. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. The customer is always right. You've heard that before. It's the backbone of customer service. But let's go beyond that. The customer is the backbone of your business. Happy customers buy more products, endorse your service, and most importantly, bring more customers by word of mouth recommendations. So how do you keep your customer happy and satisfied, returning over and over and giving you that personal endorsement? It's simple. Understand their needs, know them personally, and connect with them. Understanding their needs, put yourself in your customer's position to better understand your product, your service, and how to improve it. Know them personally, connect with them, talk to them, not at them, listen to them, and create real relationships. Know their birthdays even, and on that special day, send them a message. Remember, it's all about the customer, and they deserve the very best you have to offer. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
This is Business Rockstars. Rockstars.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Hi, I'm Mike Ditka. On the field, they called me Iron Mike. But some days, even Iron Mike can feel a little rusty. So I turned to Blue Emu. Blue Emu's non-greasy, deep-penetrating formula gets down deep for big-time comfort. And more importantly, it doesn't leave me smelling like a locker room. Now, if you excuse me, I have some yelling to do. You hit like old men! Blue Emu. It works fast and you won't stink.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Jeff Olson. If bath time is a tough time at your house, you're not alone.
It is not uncommon for there to be a huge debate and discussion about who should bathe, how often, and with what and why.
Mayo Clinic dermatologist Dr. Dawn Davis is about to settle this sudsy debate. So kids, listen up.
For young infants and children between the ages of 6 to 12, it's best to wash or take a bath approximately 2 to 3 days a week.
Dr. Davis says once they hit puberty, teens should have a shower or bath every day, or at minimum every other day.
There are caveats to this. At any time in life when you develop excessive sweat or become very dirty, then you should bathe.
And here's something that may surprise kids and parents alike. You should bathe after swimming.
The truth of the matter is that natural and artificial water sources can still have a lot of germs.
So after you hit the beach or the pool, plan to hit the shower too. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. We've got two rock stars for you today. We've got Jeanne Grubbs and Abby Lewis Evans, co-founders of Our One Agency. So we were talking about how you guys are experts in influencer marketing.
Yes.
So for those who this is brand new to them, explain what is influencer marketing, first of all.
Well, it basically came up, about 5 years ago, early beginnings, but over the last 2 years, it's just everywhere and all over the place. But it's taking influential people within their own perspective or own respective rights and avenues and areas and partnering with brands to kind of get a product out there and talk about a product that fits organically with what that influencer does. So it could be anything from fashions, I think one of the biggest categories.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fashion
makeup
influencers, but also it can be, education or science or
tech
or, someone that has like a hobby or interest that they share. Could be collecting things or certain films or anything like that. And they become an advocate and a person that has credibility in what they're talking about.
Yeah, and they have a niche audience, which is a unique opportunity that didn't exist before, where you can connect with a very, very specific audience. Of course, the people that you want to be connecting with through the avenue of, like you said, somebody credible.
Yes.
So how do you determine whether or not somebody is an influencer or not?
Well, that depends on a few factors, and it's always a little bit different and takes a little bit of a different eye into it depending on what the brand wants out of it or if it's a specific if it's a specific reason for looking for this influencer. So you can find an influencer based on solely numbers. Maybe if you're looking for awareness within a certain audience, you can find an influencer more based on high engagement. If you are looking to maybe push a product or promote sales of something, just knowing that they have an audience that is actually not only watching what they do, but doing what they do.
Mm-hmm. What can a business realistically expect from doing influencer marketing? Is it more for awareness, or is it more for sales, or something else?
And awareness is great, but you can also get awareness on like a much broader level. I mean, TV or something, a traditional forum. For this space, because, you know, you're not like buying impressions necessarily. What you're trying to do is make a really natural pairing. So if you're selling a, you know, a beverage of some sort, find someone that, you know, in what they create and in what they post, that is a, you know, works really naturally in. Or if it's like, if it's a tool and you're working with someone that is building things every single day, like the tool brand should be working with that person because they're already using your products. And so for awareness, that's great because you can get that. But I think seeing the product in action and seeing the product and used how an average person would be using it is where brands are really going
to
win.
So you really have to strategically pick the influencer that you're going to work with, which I'm sure you help these brands
do. The identification process is the most important thing. So what we do is we look at the objectives of the brand, and we look at the product they're trying to get in the hands of consumers and what they're trying to achieve. So their demographics, all of that, obviously part of the process of picking the right person. And then we find the most influential people that hit on those demographics and hit on, you know, something that doesn't feel like a departure for the brand, you know? So it's, again, something very seamless. Yeah. You work it in.
Or the influencer.
Yeah, and fashion, I think, is a big part. You know, find someone that is just always giving style tips and things like that, and work in your product in that sort of way. You know, I think the forced ones can backfire. So if you're throwing something towards an audience that sees you just kind of, it's like sponsored posts, it just feels like you're not really winning.
It's not as authentic, and that's really all you're going for with using influencer marketing is an authenticity, right. A true fan of the brand using it that just so happens to have a ton of fans of themselves.
And we also try to find people that are advocates for the brand, so that the brand may not even know about. So we find someone that flies a certain airline all the time and vlogs every time they're getting on that airline and so excited to be on that airline. Mm-hmm. And we're like, there we go. You know, this airline needs to be working with this person, as opposed to finding someone that actually never flies their airline or something like that.
then it's just fake.
And then it's fake and their audience doesn't care and it doesn't work.
So how do you naturally create content to bridge that gap between the brand and the influencer?
We work with them because they're the best. They know their audience the best. So they are experts at knowing what works on their channel. So you have to listen to them and have to create how they want to create. The brand doesn't really get that. They can give do's and don'ts and some guidelines, but they can't really say, can you post this for me? And if you do that, you're basically just buying impressions. If the brand creates something the influencer just posted, it's not a true, it's not how it works best.
That's so true, because for some influencers, a still photo does great. Mm-hmm. Maybe a selfie does great. Mm-hmm. For some influencers, a video does better. Like every influencer has a very different audience.
Or speaking about a certain aspect of said product or mm-hmm. brand, you know, in their own right, and just giving them that creative liberty is going to go so much further and in a natural way that the audience doesn't feel like they're being sold to, because I think that's the opposite of what they want, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. Yeah. And you guys work a ton with social media, obviously, both mm-hmm. with influencers and without. Is there something that you've learned when it comes to specifically marketing that does well versus doesn't do well?
It's so funny. There's like, if everyone thinks they have the secret sauce, mm-hmm. right, to what shares or what goes viral or what works. And there are ways to know what, you know, there's analytics, there's data, there's things we can know for sure. It's like, we should be putting some money here and there and with this place. But it's really, it's a test and learn space for sure. It's optimizing constantly and not getting disappointed when something doesn't perform well, because that's valuable information that we need to know.
Nothing's a failure if you learn from it, right?
I love it. And on that note, thank you so much. Congratulations on all of your successes in your first year of business.
I know.
For sharing the lessons learned. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Co-founders of Our One Agency, and we are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.